express yourself.
Extending a very wonderful good morning to everyone listening out there. This is another edition of KYUK's very own talk line. We invite anyone to call, and numbers. I'll let my co-host today, Grady, to give out our.
Yeah, this is Grady Deaton. The numbers to call in are 543-5985. That's 543-KYUK or 543-2756. You can also dial 1-800-995-8954 or email radio@kyuk.org.
Yes, feel free to call today. Diane is not with us today this morning. She's busy with her work, so, you know, we're going. But we'd like to hear from you. YK Delta and beyond, whatever's on your mind. So we're waking up to a beautiful day outdoors, you know, with the sun shining, and it promises to be a wonderful day today.
Yeah, it's looking clearer than the last couple of days out there. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's been great, and the berries are ripening, and people are out picking berries, and the fish are still swimming. So there's lots to do out there in this area. So, but today we paused for a while, and people out in fish camps, you know, there's still a lot of people out in fish camps. But I think more are leaning towards the tundra for the berries are ripe for picking, and there's just a short window of time to pick them. So we went out the other day, and oh, they're just so good to see the. Salmon berries grown out there on a tundra. Just so colorful, and you taste one, you just forget about everything else.
The color is so impressive. You know, the two things that impress me about this particular moment in time, this particular time of year here, is the color of the kings when they're drying.
Yeah.
And the color of the salmon berries as they ripen.
Hey, wow, cool. Yes, those are similar colors. And yes, there's, and I think the silver salmons are still, you know, still headed this way, so people usually wait for them. But the reds and chums are still running, and I've been hearing that an occasional king or two, you know, might be caught, get caught in a net. So there's still plenty to do out there, and there's a lot of room out there, so people are enjoying being able to get out and fish. And you know, I haven't gone rod and reeling yet, you know, which I would like to do one of these days before the river freezes. So,
you know, people are outside and outdoors, but once the weather starts to get a little different and people start to go to the fitness center again, they're going to be surprised to see those new additions. The mural that was put up a little while ago, and today at 6 p.m., they're installing a sculpture in the front of the fitness center.
Wow.
Yeah, so, artists coming in today to do that.
That's a good place to be. I've been hearing a lot of activity reports, you know, from the fitness center, and I've yet to see that mural. Who did that?
Oh, it's a Dillingham artist, and I had her name handy earlier. But it's such a great mural. And speaking of salmon berries and berry picking, it profiles berry picking on the tundra. It's a gorgeous, impressive mural. Very, very. How do you say? I guess the impact that it had on me was it's very representative of what you see out on the tundra.
Yay.
It's great.
Sounds good. Yeah, I got to go see that now. So, yes, the lines are open. They're wide open. So, feel free to call. You know, the time goes fast. And how is it? You know, when people call in and say that the lines are busy or that we're not picking up, is when both lines are occupied, or how does that work? You know, I know there's a.
So the callers are calling in on three different phone lines, and I'm not intimately aware of how the phone system works.
Yeah.
But I do know that if you call in on that 800 number and someone else is calling in on it, you're gonna get a busy signal.
Yeah.
Right. And then once we have everyone in hold pattern, you get the same thing.
Yeah, that's right. We don't have a whole lot of open lines, you know, but we have enough to get by for now. So the lines are open: 543-5985, 543-2756, and from around the Delta. If you'd like, you know, toll-free number 800-995-8954. Our first caller coming from Bethel, Kathy. Good morning, Kathy Hansen.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
I'm calling to let people know that tomorrow at Saturday Market, I'll be there with a table to register voters.
Oh.
I can register brand new voters, and certainly we know that there are a lot of people who have moved to Bethel that maybe didn't transfer mm-hmm. their voter registration to Bethel. So we would like to get people to update their voter registrations also. It's all free. And we can just do it right there, and I send it in a secure envelope to the voter's office in Nome.
Okay.
And one other reminder to parents, to young people who are heading off to school in the fall, heading out of town, whether they're finishing high school or they're going to any other school, it's important that they figure out what the absentee ballot process is.
Yes.
And parents, you know, your kids leave at home. They have a lot on their minds. You're dealing with a lot of new things. So you might need to give them a hand to help get that figured out before they leave.
Yes.
So we need everybody to vote. We have an election, a primary in August, a local election where the very interesting alcohol initiative will be on the ballot. That's mm-hmm. in October, and school board elections and city elections. And then in November, we have state and national elections. So we want to get as many people registered as possible.
Yes.
I'll be there tomorrow at Saturday Market. Look me up.
Kathy. Great. Kathy, can you assist people with students with absentee ballot information tomorrow at Saturday Market? Is that...
Okay, I will. I'll get that information from the city mm-hmm. clerk, and I'll have it there with me. Good
Very
idea,
good.
Grady. Thank you.
Good idea. Very good.
Yeah.
Kuyana, Kathy.
Yep. Bye.
Okay, we'll jump right into our next caller. We have John. John
yes,
P.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just got a question about this 56 villages, you know. They have a store, you know. Mm-hmm. These 56 villages, they have store, and
yeah.
they call them a corporation store. Who do these really belong to? The village people or the other company belongs to the store? The village people or somebody?
I kind of think that might, you know, vary from village to village, you know, probably whoever the owners are. But I noticed that in most of the villages, you know, the stores belong to the village corporation.
If they belong to the village corporation, the village people, you know, in the village, why can't they start selling things like seal oil, all this native food stuff, you know, in there?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. But
buying native
yes.
foods in mm-hmm. there too, you know, it's the village people.
You know, I kind of think that they have to follow regulations, you know, if they're going to be selling to the public, that, you know, they have to pass the FDA rules and regs, whatever they might be, you know, because I know that Swanson's in the years past used to sell like frozen whitefish, yeah. But
yeah, I know, and they
like
never do
they
that no more.
No more, because I think what I heard was that the FDA did not authorize the sale of fish before they get inspected or something of that nature.
USDA, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, why can't they do that, something like that, and get inspected and start selling native foods here, you know, in the villages? Mm-hmm. And I'd be ordering bakhtak from North
Alaska.
Yeah. Okay, have a good morning.
Okay. Yeah, you got a good point. Yeah, maybe somebody that knows more about that can call in and explain to us, you know, why that cannot be or that is not happening now. Our next caller, good morning, Roy.
Yeah, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear, Roy.
Yeah,
good morning.
Are you working with somebody else besides you, Peter?
Yes, I got our very own Grady from Grady. Say hello to him.
Good morning, Roy. This is Grady. Good morning.
Good morning, Grady. Are you from the fitness center?
No, that's Shaddy you're thinking of. He's better looking. He's Shaddy. Better looking than I am.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, you know, the history of the fitness center and that swimming pool that they were fighting to start. I was just kind of trying to make, if you know the history, kind of make it an analogy about the situation. There's going to be people that are pro and con in reference to it, and then, and it takes people that have an interest to get it become a reality, and the current situation where it is at, it's great. You know, it's starting to get better and better. It seemed like getting more improvement into it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, Roy. It's a municipal success story, in my opinion. I don't know a lot of the details, but I've participated in some events there, and I go down there and use the facilities. I'm really pleased with that mural that they put in, and today in the afternoon they're welcoming another artist to install a fish sculpture there in the front, so that's exciting. I do like the place. I think it's a good deal.
All right. I just wanted to make a point about our political situation currently. It takes people, okay? And thanks, Kathy, for bringing up that election issue. Have a good day.
Thank you, Roy.
Thank you, Roy. Yes, good morning to you.
It definitely does take people. Mm-hmm. It takes people to make things happen.
Absolutely,
and
yes.
Not just opinions, but people who want to make change, actually do something.
Yes, those are the people. A bit of info about our lines that we were talking about a minute ago. When there is already someone on the 800 number, that line will automatically hang up on the new callers. It makes callers think that we're hanging up on them when we're not actually. When 543-5985 and 2756 are busy, these two lines will ring and ring and make callers think that no one is picking up or paying attention. No, so just wanted to let that out and let people know the way our system works here. So there's always, you know, improvements happening. So maybe one day we'll have better systems.
I think the key takeaway is that even if you think we're not picking up, we are.
Yes.
And keep trying, because the show doesn't work without your calls.
Yes, that's all right. So do call. You know, our lines are open. But we have a caller now from Akiak. Good morning, Akiak.
Yeah, good morning. I just want to make a quick comment about Custer Cream commercial fishing.
Okay.
We haven't fished in the last 3 years.
Turn your radio off, please.
It's like a disaster out there.
Okay. Yes, Nutan, that's better, yeah, because when you don't turn the radio off, you know, we have an echo and makes people hard to understand what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I'll just repeat what I said. Commercial fishing on Cusco Cream, we haven't fished in the last three years, and it's like a disaster out here. So
yes.
I just want to comment on that.
I haven't heard anybody
mention commercial fishing. So.
Yes, that's a good question there you got. All right, thank you very much.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes, you know, he does have a valid concern there, you know, with sound like there's a lot of fish running out there, and I wondered who makes those decisions, you know, if there would be an opener or whatever with commercial fishing. But I think during the times of conservation, you know, that probably is not what they want to look at too much. But we'll jump into our next caller, Renee. Good morning.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. Good day. Be good to hear you guys on the line and talking and everything. Just got a couple of things to share. Of course, tomorrow is Saturday market.
Yes.
So doors will open at 8:30 for all of the vendors, and it'll be open to the public from 10 to 2. It looks like it's going to be a gorgeous day. So mm-hmm. I invite everybody to come down, see what's happening here, and have a little lunch, visit with your friends. It's a good place to do that.
Yes.
An update on celebrating Bethel's diversity with our Taste of Bethel, which is planned for August 18th. And we have got our 18 chefs lined out. We're doing a cookbook with all of their recipes. I'm very excited about that. The dishes are all, you buy a $5 ticket when you come in, and you can buy as many as you want, and you go to the different chefs and you give them a ticket, and then they're going to give you a $5 portion, so you can sample a lot of different foods.
Like, for example, you know, what are we expecting? What kind of?
Well, we have everything from Mexican, Filipino, Welsh, Middle Eastern, Greek, Irish, Yupik.
Yay.
Ah, you answered my question.
And then with vegan, we got some vegan things. I'm not sure what culture that is, but it's going to be, you know, it's a unique type thing.
Wow.
So some farm-to-table stuff, stuff grown right here in Bethel and is going to be made into some tasty dishes. So we have a as diverse of tasting opportunities as we do people in Bethel.
Sounds delicious.
Oh, it's going to be great. And then all the money that we collect goes back to the chefs because they have to buy the plates, they have to buy the forks, they have to pay for all of their food. So this money goes back to them so that they don't end up paying out of pocket for feeding us all. So nobody keeps money but the chefs. I just want everybody to know that this is going back to them and just celebrating their diversity and our diversity. And then the last thing I just want to bring up is that the Bethel Fair is happening. It's going to happen on September 7, 8, and 9. So mark your calendar. I hope you're growing huge cabbages and strawberries and your flowers are blooming and arts and crafts are being made and jams and fish are being smoked and pickled and everything. So we'll have a huge competition for all of that and you'll get ribbons and we're going to have a cribbage night tournament. Fish and Wildlife, I'm pretty darn sure, is going to bring out a bird.
I spoke to them.
Yeah, they're coming. So it's I'm very excited about all of the different things we're going to be doing. Grady, are you going to help with a talent show, right?
That Saturday night, there'll be a talent show just like last year. I haven't secured my sponsors yet, but I'll speak out of turn. I'm sure I'll have $200 in prize money by then.
Well, and if people were to donate at the door, something, we could give that directly to the top three or something.
Yeah, there will be a cover charge this year at the door for that talent competition we decided.
Yeah, and it's going to be very minimal, but it'll be a great treat to those artists who win. So have I left anything out, Grady?
Well, no. Well, the book sale, I mean, I'm selfish. I got a lot of books over there at Saturday Market. So there's like one whole third of the cultural center is set up as a large book sale. And so benefiting Friends of the Library, helping some of the youth programs at the library get materials, that's what the benefits are going to be for. So that's the other thing going on there.
Great.
Yep.
Sounds exciting. Well, you make Bethel exciting. Or you help make Bethel exciting. That sounds exciting and good.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Oh, and if anyone needs to talk to me or ask me questions about any of that, they can come to the Cultural Center or they can call me at 543-4538.
4538. Okay, very good. Renee, thank we you. Appreciate your calling in and giving us all the information. So, Koyana.
Bye-bye.
Right to our next caller, we have Howard. Good morning, Howard.
Good morning.
Yes.
I was looking at the news this morning on the East Coast. I think it's Massachusetts where they have all these places where they went out of business and they have all these big buildings and they're, I think it's the mayor of Massachusetts. She's going to start, she's trying to get people to grow marijuana in their big buildings, you know, that are empty. And this is on the news this morning. I guess that's a new thing, though, because people are hurting for cash, and they're trying to make revenue for their cities, you know? So I don't know if you guys caught this on the news here this morning.
Not I. I didn't listen to news except that show that you have.
on the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, I listen to Morning Edition as well. That's about all I got, too.
Yeah, that is one of the big news is on there, about the mm-hmm. growing stuff now. I mean, cities getting together to grow this stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
for sale, and I guess for forever, whatever they do with it, you know.
Yeah.
So, you think we got problems? They probably really are having problems down on the East Coast, too.
Mm-hmm. That's probably everywhere, you know, if you look at it that way.
Yeah. So. Well, I just wanted to bring that up there.
Okay.
I caught it this morning, and I was hoping other people would have heard that, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
Very good. Good morning. Thank you for calling, Howard. Our lines are open now. Please, if you have something on your mind or would like to join in, do call. The numbers?
Oh, the numbers are 543-5985 or 543-2756. You can also reach us toll-free if you're in the outlying villages at 1-800-995-8954. Of course, you can also email us at radio@kyuk.org.
Yes, beautiful day today, and we have our next caller. Alexi, good morning. Good morning, Alexi.
Yes, good morning, Peter, both of you.
All right.
Good morning.
Yes, beautiful day today again.
Yes.
Good for picking berries.
Mm-hmm.
They had one call from Japonic yesterday to one of the elders that are really good concerned.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Big concerned.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeing birds washing ashore, and they're seeing them weak. Mm-hmm. They're not fully strength. They're weak, mm-hmm. dying. And these birds that they are seeing are not from our area. They're from different area. These are the birds that they never seen before, and we don't know where they are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And the fishing, I think the fishing game needs to focus on this and find out what makes them sick and die and where they came from. These birds, we need to know these things. They're in Alaska. It hits our shores. So that's a big one of the big concerns that one of the elders wanted to know what made them die.
Yes,
and I think the fishing game should check on this. It's a very, you know, these birds they came from somewhere. They're not from Alaska. They're from other nations. I don't know how many years it is now. They had a big earthquake in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I think you remember that. They
yeah.
had a really big earthquake, and when it did that, it hit the power plant, and it destroyed it. And that power plant were using radiation. And that radiation poured out into the ocean, right in front of their ocean, right there, because it was close to the ocean. And it spilled a lot. They couldn't stop it. They tried mm-hmm. to stop, they couldn't. Because that radiation is really, really hot. You've got to have protection, you know, like a military. You know those military use gas masks and all? They need to have those kind of things in order to work on that, but they did not stop
mm-hmm.
it. And it was still going for how many years? I don't know if they stopped it now or not, because I never heard about it anymore. I believe those radiation that was poured out into the ocean, I believe these animals that are from that area, in close to that area, I think they're affected now. They can't
mm-hmm.
live because that radiation has destroyed their system. Mm-hmm. I believe the fishing game needs to find out what
okay.
made them die and the fish and where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
That elderly person from Tifornia who had a concern on that. And that should be looked into. That's the other one. And I wanted to thank the Old Rock Native Council, Tuaksac Native Council, Kangnakanak Native Council, and Napakek Native Council. I want to thank all those four villages for making a resolution towards the Dawning Goal. I thank those three. And I wish those other villages from the Kuskokwim River could do that. Their council, their Iowa Council of Tradition should write a resolution and help these people that are, you know, making a resolution, because that river, the Kuskokwim River, is our, you know, it's our plate, it's our farm, it's our car, you know, it's our life thing that's been going on for thousands and thousands of years, and it's still going up to this date, still going. And if it ever happens, you know, if Donko happens to open, and we don't know how long that thing might be going, we don't know. We don't know the future. They, I'm sure there will be a big earthquake in the future. We don't know that. It could be fire too. You know, it could be fire. And if it, isn't that area, it's going to affect that area, and it's, you know, it's going to hurt a lot of, you know, a lot of things, not only the humans, us. So I urge all of you, just please try, or one of you from that village, go to your IO council and ask me to make a resolution to help these other villages that are trying to stop that down gold. Because that's our dinner out there. That's our dinner table out there. Once it's destroyed, we are going to die. Our future generations, kids, going to die. We'll have no generation. We'll be wiped out. Only the ones that are up north or around our area will be surviving. And us, it's going to hurt us. So, I wish I could pray for every one of you to, you know, help these other four villages.
Yes, okay.
And that's the only thing that I've been against ever since. Well, actually, I was for that Dongo in the first place. I was for it because it was going to create a lot of good jobs, which was good for it. The young ones, and I was for it all the way until they mentioned cyanide, and that's when I put my foot down and said, "Nope, I don't want that in our area." Okay. And that's when I start going against it because I know what cyanide will do, and that was my one of the big concerns that I had.
All right,
it will hurt us. Kuskokwim River people.
Yes.
Boyana.
Thank you. Yes, thank you, Alexei. Yes, you know, you have a lot of good, important concerns there that you mentioned, you know, on, stand by a minute here. You know, we have a little technical here. There you go. All right, yeah.
I almost ran over there and did that. You know, Peter, you know, the last caller, Alexei, mentioned jobs resulting from mining operations. But, you know, one thing to keep in mind, I think, is the types of jobs that a mine puts into the economy generally will create for these young people an opportunity to move to Anchorage, because they're like 2 week on, 2 week off positions, and then you can afford to get over there to Anchorage. And I feel like there's a potential for a sapping or a tapping of some of the brightest and best youth in the region. Those jobs they get actually pull them out of the region and then pull that money out of the economy too. So I just think that there's a lot more to that.
There is a lot more, but it's, you know, the first part that he mentioned about, you know, about this elder that called up yesterday during Kutfakhlako regarding that they're witnessing a lot of fishing game that are washing up to the shore,
mm.
dead or dying, and that is concerning, you know. And he called, this elder had called up along the coast and talked to somebody from Hooper Bay, which is also people are witnessing or seeing dead birds washing up. So, yes, there's something happening out there in the ocean, you know, in our area or out in our yard or in our area.
Yeah, last week there was a news article, and remember, the caller called in, we pulled it up. I'm just not on the internet right now, so I can't pull up that article to inform myself a little bit better, but I do know that that biologists are looking into the mass die-offs.
Yeah, yeah, we'd like to. It would be interesting to hear from them, you know, to find out what's happening about that, you know, because that is concerning. And then, yes, and then he went right into, you know, a possibility about a spill happening in our river and what kind of disaster that might turn out to be. So our lines are open.
And just like Roy earlier, you know, Alexi urged citizens to speak to their tribal councils and speak to their city forums about making resolutions like those other villages. You know, I have an email here. I'll read that, and then we'll get to our next caller. This is from Vernon. Good morning, y'all. I'm so elated regarding the 8 tribes among the 56 village tribes throughout YK Delta who are opposing the Donlin Creek gold mine so far. Thank you, Koyana. Kudos. With that said, I am positive more tribes will follow suit. Come on, tribes. Let's make this opposition as big as the No Pebble mine. Also, folks, please don't forget to contact the OTNC's Natural Resource Department at 206-543-2608 to partake in their survey regarding the Donlin Gold Creek Mine Project. The more calls and input will definitely make a difference. I will continue to oppose Donlin Gold until our very own Calista Corporation and the Kuskokwim Corporations pull out of this quote-unquote project. Koyana from Vernon.
Go to our next caller, Danielle. Good morning.
Hi, this is Danielle Craven calling from Bethel.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to call with an update with the Yukon-Kuskokwim River Alliance. I'm actually sitting here at ONC and was listening and was reminded about the talk show. And I wanted to first off say Oyana Daknak to all the tribes who are working together to make comments on the permitting process that's happening right now and who have vocally passed resolutions opposing the mine, also supporting Stand for Salmon initiative ballot measure 1 in their support of voting yes for salmon. And I wanted to let you know that there is an upcoming permit due on August 7th called the waste, it's concerning the waste management plan and the reclamation. And what we are asking the state to do, and we just got done talking with the governor's office this morning, was to halt permits and to stop permitting until they consult with tribes. We've also asked them to make an extension to the Corps of Engineers regarding the certifications. We are working on a letter to the state to extend this deadline, addressing our concerns, of course, with water discharge and quality and just the whole devastation to our fish resources, specifically smelt that the EIS brings up. So we want to continue to let everyone know that we are still working in educating our tribal members and our tribes and non-tribal members on this, the EIS, as well as the permitting process, which is really hard to follow. But in our talks this morning with the government's office, they did say they're accepting any letters of extensions on these permits. There is an open window until August 7th to comment on the reclamation plan, and they're going to work harder to consult with tribes. So it's clear that they are wanting to consult greater with tribes. We're encouraged to have better government-to-government relations with the Corps of Engineers, and that means tribal offices sending letters to the Corps sharing your concerns. we are still concerned in about all the environmental effects and harm to our subsistence way of life, and we're still addressing them. So I wanted to share that.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yes, that's a lot of good information there. We appreciate you calling and telling us all about that.
Yes, and then we just also want to, if any tribes want to get a hold of myself with the Rocky River Alliance, they can call me at 545-3379. They can also email ykriveralliance@gmail.com.
You said YK Alliance?
River Alliance.
Oh.
River Alliance,
okay.
@gmail.com. Yeah, okay. And we also understand that there is a Nunavut meeting today in Grisluk, and we learned of this meeting happening today, and we want to be able to present to the Nunavut tribes and better understand their positions and what they're doing to oppose the mine and comment on the permits. And just another update is last week we met with YKHC, and they're going to continue to honor their resolution and work on commenting on permits, and that was a message from their board that we received last week. Dave Cannon, the biologist, is also still traveling to villages. He was just in Guihilnuk and Napakiak yesterday. So we just thank the tribes for hosting and learning and wanting to be involved. Because we are very concerned, and we must say no to these to Donlin and these concerns. And then just a bigger, another thing on ballot measure one is we want to vote yes for salmon, vote yes for ballot measure number one, which would protect our salmon and fish habitat and update the salmon habitat, fish habitat laws that our state needs to update.
Mm-hmm.
So vote yes for salmon on ballot measure one, and get registered if you're not a registered
yes.
voter.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah.
Yes. Kuyana. Thank you very much, Danielle. A lot of good information, and maybe a good coast or cut it coffee.
Oh, maybe a good yeah. Guest to come mm-hmm. in at Coffee at KYUK
yes.
and talk a little bit more about that.
Yes,
for those of you who didn't catch that, that's 545-3379 or ykriveralliance@gmail.com.
Yes, our next caller. Good morning, Gregory.
Can I check my ID first?
Go ahead.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, it's been a while since I called her. Been wanting to call since last spring about Kuskokwim River and the river ice breaking up. It's like the same thing as Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor.
Okay.
On a national level there, it's my feeling there that Uncle Don...
Yes, we're going to go on. Our lines are open at this time, so please feel free to call. And then, but that next, our last caller, Danielle, I guess she's at ONC, sound like. She had a lot of information. I'm quite interested in hearing more.
Yeah, you were right. I want to reach out to Danielle. She's probably still listening. To send us an email at coffee@kyuk.org to get in on the coffee show and talk more at length about the Salmon for Salmon initiative.
Yes.
And also the other things going on at OTNC relative to coalescing the support around the No Donlin. Not necessarily around No Donlin, but like around the survey that
yes.
they're trying to get,
mm-hmm.
just to gauge the public opinion about
yes,
it.
Yes, yeah, we need to hear more about it and learn more about it. So, yeah, that would be good. So, yes, but locally though, you know, people are excited about getting out there in the tundra to the tundra and picking salmon bears. I think they're a bit early this year. From what we normally seen in the years past, so things are getting sooner, and they're which is fine.
So educate me for just a second. Besides agudak, what do you do with salmon berries?
You main thing is agudak, mm-hmm. you know, and then they're really popular during feast days and, you know, special days, you know. But this year there's a lot of berries everywhere, so there might be enough berries to have any other time. But they're like good for breakfast or any meal.
Just add it to yogurt and such.
Well, that's another way to make them. But we're gonna go on to our next caller, Teresa. Good morning. Good morning,
good morning.
Teresa. Yeah.
Good morning, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Monday
morning at 10 and Thursday same time, 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. Kuyana.
Yeah, yeah, Kuyana. Yes, our lines are open, so please feel free to call.
You can call 543-5985 or 543-2756. Of course, 1-800-995-8954 gets you in toll-free as well, and you can email us at radio@kyuk.org.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, this time of the, you know, this year has been, you know, of course, every year is always different, you know, and our center of a lot of people is, you know, subsistence gathering during the summer times, you know, starting with, you know, the birds coming in, and then the smelts would be next, and salmon, and bear picking now, and right after bear picking, people are kind of putting away their harvest for the summer. And then moose hunting will be on everybody's mind for, I don't know how much they will be open for this year, but moose hunting after bear picking. But we're going to go on to our next caller, Willie, good morning, from Bethel. Willie, good morning. Mm-hmm.
How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice weather out there today, yeah?
Mm. Yes.
You got your share of blue salmon berries already?
I'm still working at it. I'm a little slower than used to be, but I'm out there every now and then.
Yeah, well, we're all slowing down even if we do get some anyway.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Yeah. But anyway, I just want to turn in a precautionary notice that almost flipped me over the other day. Search and rescue know about this. There's a hidden lock right in front of Bethel, around that big orange buoy out there that I hit the other day. I couldn't see it. Nobody could see it. And I had hell of a time straightening out. There's some boat chasing me around, and that. I was lucky that I was caught on something when I hit it. The good thing I wasn't going, even I wasn't going full throttle. I was going about half speed on my 40 horse Yamaha and 18 foot longboat. Man, it was spinning me around. I couldn't see that. I had a few times getting over to my motor. The good thing I was caught on something inside the boat that I was just about being thrown out. And that's right on the trail, that orange buoy out there, right in almost end of that island up down here.
Yeah.
If they could look for it before it crossed, somebody's very, very invisible. You can't see it.
Right on the trail there, right in front
of the Bethel by that big orange buoy.
Really
hard to see. You know, people going back and forth. Who's going there? They're going to call somebody yesterday. You can't see it.
There's a couple of them around that area. You got to pay attention.
You know, they floated down here. I imagine if we can find them, they can be pulled out of there or marked anyway.
Yeah, because I know during low tide, you know, that that is more visible, or at least I've been seeing it during low tide.
Yeah, because so, in the high tide you can't see it.
Yeah.
But anyway, Tom was spilling me over the other day. I think by the time getting out of there, and thank God I made it out of there. But it, so mm-hmm. I thought I'd turn that in before it caught somebody, you know.
Yes, good word there, Wish. Yeah, maybe somebody heard that. That search and rescue have done that on a how you call it. It wasn't necessarily what they do, but you know, in the past, you know, to keep people from you know having an accident. We used to go out and you know pull up what you're talking about, logs that might you know cause problems for boaters. So, yeah. So they.
I noticed even the smaller boats could really tip. They hit that, especially getting on top of that. I see smaller boats. There's lots of little notes in there. If they get hit, man, that's no good. Putting out a 18-foot boat that even though it's spinning on real fast, that we're hanging on something, and I barely made it out. About 25 minutes or so.
Yes, yeah.
The boat chasing me around there, all right. But,
was a good thing you weren't full throttle, though. That's the thing.
Yeah. It's taking deal with that before it caught somebody.
Sounds good. Yes. Kuyana Willie.
All right. Yes. Another thing that dairy pickers need to watch out all the time, because they've been spotting black bears all over these areas. Even berry pickers last night, they were being chased around by little black bears. So, those guys need to have some sort of weapon or something.
Oh.
Anyway,
safety precaution, that's how
That's very good, yeah. Yes, there's a lot of people out there on the river, you know, picking bears, still some of them are still fishing back and forth to fish camp. Yes, a lot of things to watch out for, which we appreciate you calling and reminding us about that.
Yes, sir. Make lots of noise while they're picking berries.
That's right. Yes. So
okay.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. You know, one word too. You know, animals. Some animals don't like the color red. I don't know exactly why, you know, but I've heard stories about people wearing like red coat or red something, and then they would get attacked or bothered by animals that from nearby. Mm-hmm. When they see red, they get something happens.
So he was saying black bears out on the tundra, possibly accosting people with picking berries. Is that a common thing?
Very kind of rare, you know, because they're most of them are afraid of human. But there's probably a troublesome one that you might bump into every now and then.
Not a bad warning then for some of us transplants who don't know that you could run across a black bear out there, huh?
Yes, there are some. Yes, there's some animals out there that you have to keep an eye out for.
And reiterate for me, he was mentioning a felled log that is could cause some boaters some concern, that's near the orange buoy right outside of Bethel on the main path toward where?
Like you're going upstream, mostly.
Oh, okay.
And then the buoy is out there. It's to it's a deep water buoy or whatever that the you know, right, it's directly kind of across from the mouth of the small boat harbor in that area. And then there's been a couple of locks in that area that you have to keep an eye out for.
So maybe keep the throttle down a little bit. That way you won't have to worry about it so much. Or keep your eye out anyway. That's
keep your eyes open.
Should I go with this?
Yes.
All right, got another email from a caller or from a listener. This is from Mr. Lake. He says, "Hello to all who stand for salmon. Years back, we had the 50-plus tribes unify to oppose something that would have devastated Alaska everywhere, House Bill 77, otherwise known as the Silencing Alaskans Act. This would have fast-tracked the permitting process by removing the public commenting period. Thanks to the unified efforts of the 50-plus tribes, we destroyed the opportunity for this bill to pass. The very same effort absolutely needs to happen in order to preserve our lifeline, the Kuskokwim River. There are a lot of things that are uncertain in the future, but we must make sure one thing is certain: the longevity of life thriving in our sacred Kuskokwim River. If we all work in cohesion, we can ensure that nothing can harm our sacred way of life. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, Mr. Lake. Thank you, Mr. Lake.
Good words, yes, very. That's a lot of good words in there. Good suggestions, yes. And we'll go on to our next caller, Sam from Magula.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Sam.
Hi, Peter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Concern. I have a concern of berry pickers.
Okay.
The season is here. The weather is starting to look good.
Mm-hmm.
And people are starting to go out. I'm hearing people going out.
Yes.
Reminder, particularly to all those people that are going out, bring back your trash.
Yes, absolutely.
Clean the area where you have picked, and
yes,
don't leave trash. Bring them back. They're light. You know, there's a proper place to dispose them.
Yes.
And another thing, I keep hearing people mentioning fishing game.
Mm-hmm.
Not only them, but we as people together, working together, maybe those animals that are dying, they're dying from something.
Mm.
So if maybe one or two samples, pick them up, bag them, freeze them, and then send them to the biologist, a suggestion.
Mm. Okay.
It's just a suggestion for people that are finding dead carcasses out there.
Yeah.
Pick them up, bag them, freeze them, and then biologist on and them.
Yeah, but one word of caution regarding that is that yesterday's caller from Quikluk had said do not handle them because they might have something that you might pick up, or if you put them along with your food, then it might spread to your other foods.
Yeah, listen, use proper precaution. Use rubber gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Bring rubber gloves, bring plastic. That's why I'm saying plastic, because once you put them in there, they're sealed.
Mm-hmm.
And rubber gloves, too.
Yes, yeah.
So it's just a suggestion.
Okay.
Nothing that we have to do, but it's a suggestion.
Very good.
Oyana.
Yes, thank you, Sam. Yes, that's good information. And yes, people are concerned about what's happening out there. So, but maybe somebody can call in and enlighten us about what's happening out there. But we have maybe this next caller. We have Ray Bourne from U.S. Fish and Wildlife. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
Yeah, I just heard that question about the carcasses. Yeah, we need to take precautions in handling anything that they find out on the tundra or out while they're hunting or fishing, gathering out there. It's, again, the caller was right in the precautions of, you know, using gloves and being cautious and, you know, sealing anything like that. Finding things like that, you can give us a call and we can find out the right lab to send it for to identify what the cause of death was for those animals out there.
Okay.
A couple things I want to say. I want to say thanks to everybody for a great fishing season. Everybody was very cooperative and showed a lot of patience in us trying to work through the season, and as we're trying to figure out how to best provide salmon for everybody out there. I think it's an important thing. We do have a waterfowl crew that's out at Kanagiak and going to Kagun Lake. They're doing some Kakra goose work out there, trying to help us understand what's going on with the goose populations. And they'll be working with a helicopter. So you may see a helicopter flying around a little bit out of here, out of Bethel, going out to those areas and working with our field crew out there. And then next week, we're working with OTNC at the Culture and Science Camp. Working with them, and the students are coming out here for that camp, so we're looking forward to that. That's kind of the big things going on for Fish and Wildlife Service.
Well, so we understand, we hear in the news that the the king salmon that people are so concerned about are starting to reach the fish weirs or something of that?
They are. We get reports from the Kwikuk Weir on a daily basis as to kind of what we're seeing up there. Water's been real high this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're having, you know, problems of how confident we are in the numbers we're seeing. But I think, let's see, Kwikuk Weir, there we go. So last year in Kwikuk Weir, there's 244 king salmon up there.
Wow.
The weir. So that's about normal. So we're kind of seeing those numbers going through there. So what's going on in timing? So that's looking pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Now, when the water is so high and then it's right up on the top or over the top of your weir, could the fish be jumping somebody's weirs without getting counted? Or?
Yeah, I'm sure they are. You know, that's kind of one of the things we'll kind of, at the end of the season, we'll actually try to figure out as to how much we think actually avoided the weir by going over the top or,
mm-hmm.
or going through, you know, a gap in the weir that develops because of the high water. It makes it pretty dangerous for our field crews to try and get out there and actually operate a weir when the water's real high. So, and the Kwikuk Weir, anyway, we didn't really get it truly in place until a couple of weeks ago. So it's good for the fish, but high water is great for them, but it's just not so good for our scientists trying to understand what's going on out there. But I think it's been good for the fish.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Sounds good.
Hey, Ray, can you do you mind educating me just quickly on something? Are those weirs, do they do a sample, or are they trying to get an approximate count? What's the math involved there?
So the method that's involved there is the weir is open, and they use a video recording of all the fish going through the weir. So during the day, the crews actually monitor the video, and they can move it forward and back and actually count the fish they see going through the weir. And then a couple times, once or twice a day, the weir is closed for about 20 minutes, 30 minutes, something like that, where they actually take the fish and they sample, they measure them for length, and they measure them for width, and they grab a scale to kind of help us age and sex the fish, and then they're released, and then the weir is back open again. So there's a video actually out on our website that talks about the fish weir, and you can go to the Yukon Delta Refuge website and take a look at that video. It talks about what the weir does, and it's a really good job of explaining how the weir operates.
And when you say a number like 244, what happens with that number? Is that from that weir and it's combined with other, you know, I just don't understand the whole thing. I'm just kind of looking for a clue to understand what that 244 means. Does that give you an idea of the larger number?
Sure does. So it tells us, you know, that's how many Chinook they saw go through the Kwikuk Weir, and then they collect it every single day. And then at the end of the season, we take a look at all those numbers, and we collect it working with the state of Alaska because they run the rest of the weirs on the Kuskokwim. And we work together with the state and kind of come up with what we think the real run now, the escapement number is, up those particular rivers where the weirs are. And that's expanded, you know, through an estimate or a model, if you will, of what the entire Kuskokwim River escapement was. So we kind of know what we think the escapement is and did we meet our objectives, you know, for getting more fish up to the spawning grounds, provide fish for future generations.
I can only imagine that the accuracy there is something that you consistently strive to improve, but can never get, you know, you obviously can't take every count, right? You can't get the exact number. You have to extrapolate that, huh?
That's correct, yeah. We use a lot of science and modeling, and we have a lot of PhD fisheries biologists helping us with that. But we do identify, you know, in any of the reports, you take a look at our website, you can see the reports that shows a range of what we think that is, and then we'll show an actual what we use as our point estimates called, just a kind of a number we can work with. And that's generally what we report. But there's truly a range, and as we get closer and closer to the end of the fish season, that range gets narrower, so it's a little smaller. But there's still a bit of uncertainty in that, and we definitely report all of that.
Very good. Yes, I'm sure... Yeah, there's probably some more questions. You know, one I had was, do you have, like, besides the weir, another method that you use? You know, did I hear aircraft counting, or what do you call that?
We do an aircraft census during, well, based upon the science and study we've been doing the last several years, we actually fly and count the number of boats and the number of set nets out on the river, and based upon what Intertribal Fish Commission members are telling us as to what the catch is and how much that is, we can kind of get an estimate of the harvest of the fish. So we work with OTNC and we work with Intertribal Fish Commission in collecting that harvest information to help us identify the harvest. And then we compare that to what we think the escapement is, and we work with, of course, the Bethel test fish and the sonar system to kind of put that all together to get up, to get develop these estimates of what we think the run size is and what we think the harvest is to help us better manage into the future.
Sounds great. You know, it would be interesting to be able to read that, what you're gathering and all what you found out this summer, and in like a local newspaper or media.
We can definitely do. We provide that information is available, of course, on our website. But, yeah, once we get the report finalized, we can definitely share that with everybody. Be glad to do that. It's public information.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great. Well, we appreciate you calling, Ray.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Very
you too,
good.
Sir.
Yeah, interesting.
I was so angry last week when some youth, I think, I'm assuming it was youth, vandalized the, not Fish and Wildlife, but the Fish and Game distribution point at Brown Slough. They were distributing, I don't know what the catch is. I guess they're count fish that are distributed to the elders through that. But, you know, for a short bit, they had to suspend giving out that fish because of the vandalism. And I just want to give a shout out to parents. I mean, you know, you got to tell the kiddos, when they do something like that, they vandalize something like that, they actually got in the way of someone's meal that night, probably.
That's right, yes.
I was frustrated. I get frustrated.
I too felt similar. Yeah, that didn't sound good. Yes, you know, but still, you know, people are, I mean, that's back in, that's been repaired, I heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's back down there where it usually is, you know, around the Brown Slough area.
And I believe they're filling that after high tide. I don't know if that's true, but that was their original intent, was to fill it at the high tide marks.
Yeah, an hour after. I think what the word is that I heard that I think they go fishing an hour after each high tide.
Okay.
And no matter when the tide is, it could be like early in the morning, whatever, then they will go out and fish. And probably the same place year after year. So that was one method.
Peter, do you get out on the river every day yourself?
I wish. But there's days when you have to stay home and take care of, you know, things, you know. And then, but I in my younger days, I used to be one of the first people to get out on a river and be like one of the last to get off of it. So that's how much I enjoy getting out. And, you know, we want to go out as much as possible, you know, to collect whatever the nature has to, you know, have available out there, fish and game and, you know, berries now. So there's a lot of good blessings out there. We're going to go on to our next caller. Buck, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah.
This is Buck.
All right.
I would like to congratulate two of Bethel's newest United States citizens.
Okay.
Okay.
I'd like to congratulate Mr. and Mrs. Sami Palumbi on becoming U.S. citizens. I'd like to welcome you to Bethel. I'd like to welcome you to Alaska and welcome you to the United States of America. Good job, guys.
Very good.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Wow.
Thank you, sir. Buck.
Wow. Yeah.
Thank you for your service too, Buck. Buck's a nice guy. And calling reference to the fact that not just the service members, but new citizens give us the American dream too, as they add to the melting pot.
Yes, yes. That's good. That's good news, yes. So I wonder if they were like, did he also mention they are residents? were here?
It sounded like they were. I'm just gleaning this complete conjecture from what he said, but it sounded like they're newly arrived to Bethel, newly arrived to Alaska, and newly. Certified American citizens.
Yeah,
they probably passed the tests and all that stuff. Yes. There's a lot into that. A lot goes into applying for citizenship when you're not doing it by marriage. When you're applying, you have to take the test. You have to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, welcome.
Yes. Welcome.
I didn't quite get their last name, but they're they sound like a foreign kind of last name.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't writing either.
Welcome. Yes, good to hear that.
I'm glad to hear that that the person on the board is having the same trouble that I have sometimes with the phones, because I feel so embarrassed when I'm over on that end and I miss the button.
You're coming along. I know how difficult that can be, and there's a couple hundred buttons on, you know.
It looks like there's 100 there, but like not 100, but you only have to mess with 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah.
It's doing it the right time, though.
yeah, that can be a chore.
Well, it's about 20 minutes.
Yes, time moves. Yes, time moves. So our lines are open. You know, please, if you have something to say or like to share, we'd like to hear from you. So our lines are wide open. I know a lot of people are wanting to get out there, being the weekend. You know, they want to. Get on their boats and get out and gather as much as they can, because there's only a short window of opportunity that we have to gather the berries. Soon they'll ripe enough where they'll point towards the ground and fall, and they'll put seed for the next year. So, yes. And they're still fishing. Fish are still swimming on our river. And I think for most part, a lot of our fishermen are done fishing this summer, pretty much done. But we'll jump into our next caller. Nick, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Nick.
It's a beautiful morning over here in Johannesburg.
Oh, yes, it is. Over here, too. Yes.
Yeah.
How's everything?
Doing good. Good to see everybody out. Picking berries and went down river too, and it was a pretty busy river for everybody. Seeing out in the tundra, and it's good to see everybody enjoying and laughing and, you know, just being out. Just,
yes.
It's always a good feeling to be like out of the village or out of town. Well, the reason I'm calling is I got a complaint within Medicaid places in Bethel, within state in the hotels. I'm not sure who to talk to, but I'm willing to look at and two of them places down there. I really felt like I was being treated as a drunk and looked at in a different way, and being treated even as like a child. It really felt offensive, and I, you know, see people as is and treat people as I want to be treated, and I shouldn't. And I've talked with other customers to see how they felt, and they agreed. And something like this should be looked into, because you know it's money spent within, I guess, the state. It should be where we are really taken care of. With other than that, with even where it says meals with included with lodging, we should be fed there too. So, I mean, I hope I bring something up that could be understood with others too. You know, in Anchorage, I've never had a problem with this. I've been treated well, you know, or they give us a food voucher and the two places I've stayed in Bethel. I hate to put them down, but I am. Okay, you guys have a good weekend and have a good time out bear picking if we go. And be safe out there.
Okay, Nick, I got one question for you regarding in front of your village. Is the water still high or is
it's been dropping. I've been out of here for a couple of days, and it's tremendously coming down and it's dropping.
Okay. Okay.
And then, kind of supplying up here yesterday, like in the Aniak River, it's finally clearing up. When it's high, we got high water, it's dirty.
Mm-hmm.
The places that people go sports fishing, the water's usually clearer when the water's low.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's people out there having fun, fishing too. And,
Okay.
Got you there, Peter.
All right. Thank you, Nick.
Oh, yeah. Boy, I sure missed a radio station up here and I was getting the radio yet.
Go.
Sure. I
was
listening to you guys. First and I, when I can't, I sure missed the radio up here.
Okay.
Have a good one.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, during your last part, you were coming on and off, so we didn't get all of what you were saying, but that's some good reports about what, and a concern of yours, I think for me, the only thing I can suggest is probably start out with where you arranged your Medicaid hotel stay here. Start with them probably, and then from there, they can probably go up the chain. If they couldn't answer and deal with your concern,
there must be a Medicaid hotline for concerns like that. When you deal with third party providers, I'm sure there's a mechanism. Probably at Medicaid.gov or something. I'm not going to say that because I don't know if it's that, but
I'm sure
there is.
Yes. Our lines are wide open now, and we only have little bit of time left, the time does travel fast, so we got about 15 more minutes before we're up. So please, if you have something to say or to share, the time to call could be now.
Peter, I'm wondering, are you a big reader? Do you read a lot?
Not as much, I'm out doing things,
Well, the reason I ask is because I mentioned earlier to one of our callers when Renee called in, one third of that cultural center is just full of books for sale, benefiting Friends of the Library and supporting children's programming at the library. And I'm sure there's a book that you might like there. And I'm putting that call out to everyone else too. Join us at the cultural center. That's today, all the way through Saturday Market on Saturday for that book sale, the Kuskokwim Consortium Libraries book sale.
Wow. Yes. Yeah, so come winter time, though, I do a little bit more reading than I normally would during the summertime. Summertime, there is a lot of things to be done, with my hands and getting out. So, yes, I do get a bit busy during the summer. And lately, I've been enjoying being busy. But we're going to go on to our next caller. Kate McWilliams, good morning.
Happy birthday.
Oh.
Thank you, Grady. You have another 6 months?
I know. It's hard.
I'm calling from Bethel Community Services Foundation. Just letting people know about a fun thing that's going on today, this evening at 6. There's an artist reception at the YK Fitness Center. We're celebrating the new sculpture that's going on the exterior. It's being installed this afternoon by an artist from Kodiak. Yeah, so this is the second piece of artwork that's going in at the YK Fitness Center. BCSF, the city, the YK Fitness Center, and a couple other partners were involved in the selection process, and they chose all Alaskan artists. It's going to be a really cool opportunity to meet the people that are decorating our town.
And he's a fish biologist as well as an artist.
He is.
And
yes.
Quite good-looking gentleman, too, I must add. I was looking at his website this morning when we were playing the show. You know, he works in metal, and it's interesting. He took, I believe he takes aircraft and boat parts and refashions them into fish. I might be speaking way out of turn. He does more than that because I saw some geometric stuff too. So I don't want to.
Yeah, he's got some cool videos of the equipment that he uses and the way he warps metal. It's really awesome.
And that's the second great addition to the fitness center. The other artist's work, that large mural, is quite beautiful. We were talking about it earlier as we were talking about berry picking because it profiles berry picking on the tundra.
Hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So gorgeous. So at 6 p.m., will there be refreshments there?
Yes, there will be some light refreshments. There'll be a community. He'll give a little talk, introduce himself. It'll be fun.
Sounds great.
It does sound great. I think the people will enjoy that quite a bit, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, thank you. Have a good weekend.
Yes. Thank you. Our next caller. Good morning, Henry Tikiun.
Yeah. Good morning, Margaret. Yeah.
But we'll go on to our next caller, Susan. Good morning.
Hi, I just want to get the word out that the monthly food bank, which happens the third Saturday of each month, is happening tomorrow from 10 until 1 at the Lions Club.
Okay.
And if anyone wants to volunteer and help out, they're really welcome and then appreciated.
Okay. What times are those?
From 10 o'clock in the morning till 1 in the afternoon.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Susan.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
And not just thank you for calling, Susan. Thank you for all you do.
Yes,
Susan's real active.
Exactly,
and thank you, Susan. What people were calling earlier, Roy mentioned it takes people. It takes people like Susan.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Yes. She does a lot for our community and beyond. Yes. So our lines are open. And we just have a few more minutes, 10 more minutes. So please, if you'd like to squeeze in a call, the time would be now, 543-5985. What are the other numbers?
543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, and of course you can email radio@kyuk.org. Any big plans for the weekend?
Yes, of course, stuff going on in town sounds very interesting, though, makes you want to get curious about and then want to check them out, you know. But the berries are ripening and they're out there, and the weather is probably going to be, I haven't even looked at the weather, you know, but it depends on weather.
If the sky outside is the forecast, this forecast is for a beautiful weekend, but I'm talking out of turn too, because I haven't read the weather either. I just read it in the morning, and then I forget it immediately.
Yes, you know, and, bring a raincoat, you know, if you wanted to go out, you know, just in case, you know, go out prepared. And what Willie had mentioned earlier, that we make us think, you know, that there are hazards along the river that we need to keep an eye out for. And any time you're boating, you know, you need to be vigilant and keep your eyes open on the trail. Because this year, I usually do my best to keep an eye out, but I've hit a couple of logs, you know, that are barely visible. One was not visible at all. You know, it was about 30 foot long or so, floating down the river, and we hit that. We, you know, lucky waves from another boat passing by had kind of exposed a part of that, and I immediately slowed down, and then I'm so fortunate I did, you know, because we did hit that log, you know, with our motor, and it was heavy.
Oh, with the motor hit the log.
Yeah, the motor hit the log, and we went over it because it was underwater. And then our motor hit the log.
So how's your prop?
Yeah, well, before the prop, there is your lower unit.
Oh, okay.
You know, that, we didn't ding up our prop, but, you know, we felt that bump, that hit. And we ended up tying it and then dragging it to the sandbar where it wouldn't happen to someone else. So
you answered my question. I was going to ask what a boater should do when they encounter a log like that to make the boating environment safer for other boaters.
Yes.
And that's just a good thing to do.
Yes, you know, but you have to be on a safe side, you know, because it's especially where it's currenty, you know, it can be dangerous when you're handling that kind of heavy log, you know, it could. So you have to be careful how you handle it. And but we were able to handle it, you know, it took us a while. But we got it. We got it off the water. Our next caller, good morning to Dave from Bethel. Good
Dave?
Morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Yes. Hi, Dave.
Calling in this morning to thank all the volunteers that helped us with the ATG Memorial Park. We have some projects going out there. And you know, this park is about honoring 1,438 men from the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta that served their country during wartime, World War II, from 1942 to 1947. Thank you, volunteers. Thanks for the businesses that provided services and materials. Everybody's invited to this park. Go out and honor the people that served during wartime from this area. They made sacrifices. Their families made sacrifices. And they defended this country during wartime. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Kuyana, David, yes.
Good morning.
Yes,
good morning.
Good morning. You know, I've been out there. You know, I've seen what they've done. That's a lot of work out there that the volunteers he's talking about had put in. He himself, Dave, you know, spent countless hours starting it up during the beginning, during the start a few years ago. He was just up there, you know, day and he did a lot. So I personally would like to send out a big thank you to Dave for what he did out there. And that, you know, this past Memorial Day weekend, I was out there, and I He talked about that statue that's out there. You know, he's facing a certain direction.
Mm.
I could be wrong, but I thought I heard 210 degrees that he's facing. And that's where the enemy, the primary enemy at that time, is from where we are, 210 degrees that way.
Mm.
So that guy is standing guard in that direction.
Is that a silhouette or a statue?
Statue.
Because I see it as, I see it from afar.
I'm not sure, but it looked like a statue to me.
I like it. I see it from afar, and when you pass over into Kasaili and you're looking to the right there, it looks like he's standing vigilant on the hill.
Yeah.
To me. I may be wrong. I may be a little bit wrong.
Yeah, he's facing that way.
But it definitely makes an impression, and it seems by design. So well installed.
Yes.
I haven't been out to the park since last year, and I know they did a lot of work in getting it ready for Memorial Day and improving it. Every year they do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there's places where people can picnic out there. There's tables and, benches and tables, and it's just well done out there. So, just good job, guys, Thank you for doing all that. We just have a couple more minutes, enough time to squeeze in a call, So please, if you got something to say, it could be your chance now. So, yes, and we've had an array of calls today.
I see you're keeping track. You keep track every show?
Well, pretty much, yes, so that somebody will ask, what was that number again,
Right. You actually get the caller count. We've had 20-something callers today.
20-something callers today, but I think I might have missed that the email in the, I didn't jot that down. So, so that's what I do. And then every now and then when I run across these, I go, oh, yeah, that day. I got the date on and, who was with, who was here.
Mm.
And yes, today was interesting. We have another minute left or so, and we just wanted to let people know, yes, this is your show, and we appreciate hearing from you and all the people that called in today where, a lot of subjects people are concerned about, and a lot of info that came out today. So we just wanted to let everyone know that, we do this every week, on Friday between 10 and 11:30, so we just want to let you know that we're appreciative of you. Call it, feeling free to call in, and giving us what you got for, and a lot of activities in Bethel this weekend.
I want to thank you for letting me sit in. I know Diane was out, but I feel honored when you let me sit next to you here.
Well, we were very, very fortunate to have had you too. We just want to thank everyone out there, and we thank you, Grady, and KYUK for...
I'll take the opportunity to tell everyone to be awesome, because that's what I like to tell people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's good to know. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. So have a great weekend.
Call call the Job Center at 907-543-2210 or 1-800-478-2210 for more job search assistance. First, here are a few announcements. We will be closed Friday, July 13th. Also, we will be hosting a recruitment event for Raven on Thursday, July 19th from 1 to 4:30. The following are recently posted positions in Bethel. Alaska Army National Guard is hiring Army National Guard soldiers. Alaska Airlines is hiring for ramp service agents. AC is hiring a bakery deli assistant manager. ABCP is hiring an administrative assistant for TANF, an assistant director for grants and compliance, a family advocate, a grants and compliance accountant, a grants and compliance accountant two, grants and compliance director, a museum technician, a resource coordinator, and a tribal justice attorney.